Hey, this is Andrew Hunziker with Dope CFO. Super excited to have Chad Price on the show today. Really interesting background of in many things. And so I'm going to kind of dive in and let you introduce more of yourself. But I see, you know, you played football at Rice University. You were one of the founders of Kettlebell Kings, which is super interesting to me because back in COVID, I was one of your customers. And it was really hard to get kettlebells back in COVID during that time. My son just was 16 and was wanting loads of kettlebells. Himself. And so that's super interesting. And now your current company, Life Grows Green, we'll dive into that as well. But maybe why don't we start kind of with your background, because it's just a really cool story. And from there, going all the way back to being an entrepreneur and CEO.
Sure. I'm a normal guy. You know, I'm from a small town here in Texas, grew up here, Texas, born and raised, and ended up going and playing football and earned a scholarship at Rice University. After graduating from there, I was in corporate America for maybe 5-6 years. And then I decided, you know, corporate America maybe wasn't the correct fit for my ambitions. And I decided to kind of jump into entrepreneurship with a couple of different companies. When I originally started, I actually started two companies. One of the companies was Kettlebell Kings. And then I actually started a nail salon as well. So, you know, one of my companies was kind of to maintain cash flow, if you will, for my life and my expenses. And then the other one was trying to build like a global brand and trying to really expand things into, you know, what I would consider like something that would compete on a global market, basically.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And I know, even though this is a cannabis podcast, I know Kettlebell Kings has been wildly successful. And that's great to hear. I'm actually live in Oregon now, but I'm born and raised in Oklahoma. So I grew up a big Sooner fan. It's just about the only good team we have of any, any sport. I guess we got the Thunder later, but really good to hear that. And then later you got involved into the Life Grows Green. Are you running both those companies at the same time right now, or have you kind of shifted more out of Kettlebell Kings and more into Life Grows Green?
Yeah, so as you know, Kettlebell Kings, we started that company in 2012. In 2021, we began a 3-year acquisition deal. So we were acquired in part of a 3-year agreement. About in 2019, I started Life Grows Green, kind of thinking forward and thinking about what I was missing from the current company I had. You know, what I really learned from having a fitness company is it's a lot of people who are on their own individual health and wellness journeys, and you can kind of meet people in different points on that journey. And one of the points that I don't think people touch on enough, or we really have cool brands around, is really like naturally made products for our health and wellness journey. So whether that's hemp and cannabis type products for health or recreational purposes, all the way to really any kind of plant-based substance, natural substance that we can derive, that's a more, let's say, greener option, if you will, than going your pharmaceutical route or the corporate America trash that they like to feed us nowadays.
I totally agree. And it's been so fun to be part of this movement. Why don't we jump in as well? So Life Grows Green specifically, and we'll put the website in here as well. And you can order both, you know, everything from clothing to CBD products as well. Do you have any cannabis product, or is it all CBD hemp related?
The current lineup we have is mostly CBD hemp related. We were prior to COVID, we were actually opening up operations in California, but I think that kind of put a spoiler in a lot of people's plans with going into quarantine and everything. But ideally, we would have cannabis products in the states where it's legalized. The original setup of the company that I'm trying to really set up and build kind of a national community around is, what products can we sell nationally and, you know, that are federally legal? And currently right now with the hemp bill, you know, we can sell hemp-based products and CBD products. I really look at it like, you know, I'm going to try to produce the highest quality products from the hemp plant, cannabis plant that I can, and try to facilitate that to an audience. I'm going to try to follow the laws and set an example as a company for the types of companies that I think, you know, the industry wants to see, as well as the regulators and, you know, the government agencies and things like that want to see. You know, I really want to take away the stigma of, you know, pot companies or stoner type companies and really bring it into a health and wellness and a way to enjoy life. You know, I think at the end of the day, if it brings you some peace to your anxiety or some mental clarity, whatever it may be for the things you choose to put into your body, I think if we can do it a natural way, I think that's the best way to go.
No, I totally agree. I was just doing, we do a news roundup on Facebook Live at the end of the month, every month. And I did it earlier this morning, and it's amazing still today. And I think this hits any new industry. We see it in crypto. We see it in cannabis. Just there's hardly a day goes by when you don't read a story of fraud or theft or someone just running a company with sloppy controls. Or just everything really, really poor management of companies. And I think as this really, when the company was mostly the Western half of the US, we saw a lot of that. As we move eastward, I think there's more professionals getting into the space, and it's like the investors are demanding, hey, let's actually run the company like a real company and do a great job. So it's great to hear that you're focused on that, because I think that's gonna make the difference between the winners and the losers. And there's going to be plenty of losers in this space as well. Let's talk about real quick, you know, you've been in the sports industry and now the CBD industry. Are there any parallels or things that you can bring over from the sport? I mean, really, even from being a professional athlete all the way to running a sports company, how can we bring that into the cannabis CBD world?
I mean, I think, when you're building, you know, brands around positive movements, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of similarity. So, you know, I view this as an extension of kind of my own personal ambitions as well. You know, I'm a health and fitness nut myself. You know, I try to maintain my health and wellness, and I have my own health and wellness struggles, just like everyone else. So when I'm looking at trying to kind of build a community or build a brand, I really want to meet people where they are. You know, I don't want to, you know, create some meathead type of fitness experience. You know, I don't want to discriminate against really any type of cultural biases or anything like that. I really want to try to create something that is solely about the purpose in which we came. And I think that kind of takes me back to my sports days. You know, I tell people all the time, I didn't like all my teammates, but when we were playing football together, I loved them. You know, it's like, it's we share a common purpose and a common goal. And I think that's the similarities that I try to bring to really any brand that I start.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. It brings me to my next question around negative stigmas around cannabis, which we've kind of hit on a little bit. And I don't know if you're still in Texas right now, it's just the messaging out there to a lot of people that still maybe have this really negative stigma with cannabis, but realizing there's actually a lot of good this plant has to offer. And even my 87-year-old mom in Oklahoma having to slowly come around, like she's taking CBD now. I would say my mom is the biggest anti-cannabis person of all time. But when I look back I'm almost 60, in the 70s, I didn't realize back then she was one of the ladies being prescribed Valiums and pills and opiates left and right. And everyone thought it was just completely okay for women or whoever to be taking pills and slowly get the message, hey, wait a minute, opiates are the bad things that, you know, that your pharmaceutical has been making for you. This is actually a good plant.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think that comes with, you know, education and trust. You know, one of the things I learned from kind of building fitness companies and building companies in general is the customer is not as educated as you think they are about the topics and the things that they're purchasing. And I don't think we can set that expectation on, you know, someone to be educated about every single product that they purchase. You know, it's hard to know when someone's tricking you and to know when you're being marketed to versus someone actually having a sincere purpose behind their product. So I try to create a brand that people can trust. And if you want to go do that research and, you know, nerd out, go dive down the rabbit hole, if you will, you can, but you can also know that someone else is trying to do that. And that's a core concept or a core principle of the brands that I try to create. And I didn't even realize that really when I started building companies, but I think it's, you know, part of my personality. It comes from, you know, my kind of competitive sports nature of, You know, I can't be perfect as an individual, but you know, you can be perfect as a team. You can be perfect as a player in the moment. I try to take that kind of mindset to the businesses that I'm building.
No, that sounds really good. And just, bringing that amazing product. Why don't we hit on a couple of products that you have? So a couple of them, one's a melatonin CBD, you have a CBD cream, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, curcumin.
Curcumin.
CBD, yeah. And I know melatonin, that's helps with sleep, right? Or
yeah, so basically we have different variations of different supplements, you know. So if you're talking about the CBD supplements, you'll have different variations, whether that's, you know, melatonin or curcumin. And then, you have the different capsules or tinctures and things like that. But you also have, you know, more of your kind of lifestyle products like your salves and your sports creams and the things that you can really kind of use on a day-to-day basis. They do have hemp and CBD products in them, but it's not necessarily a medicated product that you would see, as a prescription-based product. These are, you know, replacements for what you would buy from a Walgreens that is not all natural supplements. You know, this is going to be made from something natural. You can view the lab reports on it and see exactly what ingredients went into it. And, you know, we kind of take pride in the natural side of things and trying to push that envelope forward.
Yeah, and I think that, and that even relates to what you said before, just people want now, whatever, we're eating bread or cereal, they want organic and natural. Yeah. They want to trust the label. And I've always said, you know, that's what's going to, more than anything else, that's going to kill the illegal markets. Because I know, like, say, California is dealing with, they've got a legal market, but they're still just a massive illegal market. But like, at the end of the day, America's aging, and most of us that are older, we don't want to just, we're not just shopping for price. We want good product that we know and trust, and it's going to be tested. So that's really good to hear as well. And this kind of takes me into my next thing, and really just dealing with many, many companies, as CFO and accountant and tax person. When I find a new client in California, oftentimes I've already got a red flag. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is someone coming out of the illegal markets. They're still trying to break all the rules.
Yeah.
But if someone, say, advice to other founders, we deal with many, many startups on what I call the eastern half of the U.S. I used to call it the East Coast, but then I was like, the East Coast is everything east of Colorado, because that's where all the big growth is. But lots of founders have misconceptions about starting a company, and especially starting a company that takes this much capital. Do you have any advice or words of wisdom for what they get wrong, or tips if someone wants to, you know, start their own brand or product?
Sure. I mean, I think you nailed it as far as the experience goes. You know, even going from the fitness industry is not the most, suit and tie industry, if you will. And so yeah. I've kind of gotten used to playing both parts. You know, we do have B2B clients, you know, with the fitness companies I started. And we also have, you know, your traditional, you know, mom and pop or kind of country clients, if you will. You know, we have pretty much a full variety, a full spectrum of clients. So when you're looking at the hemp and the cannabis industry, it's, I think a lot of people have a misconception that it's not business and that it's a plan and you can just exchange it. And I think at the end of the day, it's a reason that everything's a business. You know, oranges are business, strawberries is a business. Yeah. You know, there's a reason behind that. So if you're in the industry, and I think you really want to start something like that and you want to expand something like that, I think the best thing you can do is talk to people who are in business and at least have a senior advisor, have someone that's in your your right-hand man that understands what a building a business is and what costs associated with, you know, building a business the right way. Because, you know, a lot of times you do see kind of a somewhat drug dealer mindset sometimes in starting cannabis businesses, and it hurts the industry when everyone who tries to do it the right way has to kind of be seen in that light, where some people are trying to cut corners or maybe not do it in the way that traditional businesses run.
Yeah, that is great advice. And we tell people that as well. Get advice, even if they're on your advisory board or whatever. Yeah. They can help you raise money and give you fill those skill sets you don't have. I see a lot of companies where someone might be great at growing hemp or whatever, but not good at running a business. So you want to make sure that team is good. Do you have you had any good or bad experiences with CFOs and or accountants and serving founders' needs? We feel it's a crucial role. Again, compared to other small businesses, like you mentioned, like a say a salon or something, you may not need a CFO, but if you're launching a cannabis or CBD company, probably multi-million dollar enterprise, you probably do need some serious accounting and CFO help from day one.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I've been through, unfortunately, probably too many to name when it comes to that. But, you know, I think that's the kind of stuff I'm referring to. You know, if you're serious about growing a business, you're going to have your books in order. You know, there's no real way around it. And if you're not a person who went to school for accounting and, you know, you're traditionally from the industry or just not from a business background, you really don't even conceptually understand how to make decisions in a way that end up correctly, you know, at the end of the day on the books. And so not understanding that and not running your business by the books is kind of one of the fundamental ways to screw things up. So, you know, I suggest that everyone kind of has a business plan and tries to model out what's going to happen before it happens and then measure and see how close to that you were so that, you know, you're constantly calibrating as you go to see, you know, how close your predictions are to, you know, what actually happens on the ground.
That great advice. And so we say that, yeah, with every client, we want to do that budget versus actual, which looks backwards at any point in time. And we want to say, okay, here we are at May 31. How did we do in May? What we thought we were going to do and prediction versus actual. But then we also will make a forward looking 9-month rolling cash forecast every month. So if I'm at May 31, I want to see what do I think revenues and expenses are going to be out forward. And so we move for both the backwards and the forwards and help project that cash flow, because we've seen many companies get in a real bind for cash and sometimes go under.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think you got to give yourself some runway, because it's not something that happens overnight. You know, I struggle with every single company. You know, you, especially when you're starting, you know, you don't really know what's going to push you over the edge and really create that velocity that you need to kind of take it to the next level. So I don't even look at it as something that you have to get perfectly right. It just needs to be part of the process. It needs to be a constant reevaluation. And, you know, if it takes you a year to get it right, it takes you a year. If it takes you 2 years to get it right, you know, it takes you 2 years. But when you're heading in that direction, the more accurate you are with those, the more sound your business decisions will be. So, you know, I think it's kind of self-beneficial more than just kind of doing it for your accountant, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I like that whole thing. When I was working with High Five Farms in Oregon 7 years ago or whenever, and they implemented the lean methodology that came out of Toyota. And there's a word, Kaizen, just continuous improvement. We're always making things better. And it went back to the concept of that literally happens. It's like there's three shovels on the farm, and the person that needs a shovel can't find it because someone else left it over there. And it's just things as simple as that. Let's always be improving. Let me ask you about e-commerce, because I know that can be, we've got things like Shopify and Amazon, but it can also be super tough because there are so many e-commerce providers. Do you have any issues you've dealt with on that, on accounting or collections or even marketing? I mean, it's hard to get in front of people when there's so many competitors out there in the e-commerce space.
Yeah. I mean, especially for the, you know, the hemp, the CBD space, it's, you know, extremely saturated. So, you know, for us, what we try to do is, you know, we don't want to narrow ourselves to just being a CBD company or hemp company. I try to see it as more of a natural product company. You know, we can make really any lifestyle product that's going to be made from a natural product. We could make fitness products if we wanted to, probably won't go that route right now, but theoretically we could make any product that would fit a natural, healthy lifestyle. So, you know, I think it's trying to find your niche, trying to find your spin on it, rather than just thinking, you know, I'm going to call myself, you know, CBD company X and CBD company Y. And, you know, I think those days are pretty much done. You're going to have a little bit more to the story, a little bit more to the brand that people can attach themselves to. And hopefully, you know, within the next 3 to 5 years, regulation eases up on the advertising side of things. And I think that'll make it a lot easier to kind of formalize what a brand is, because, you know, right now it's hard for us to do. It's hard to really even get a clear advertising picture out there because there's limitations on different channels, different, you know, whether it's advertising on Google, whether it's advertising on TV, you know, radio, there's all these different rules and regulations about how you can go about doing it. And none of them are in favor of the product that you're trying to sell. So it's a little difficult right now.
But oh, I agree. We've got so many things, but I think you're right. I really think, you know, I get the question a lot of times, oh, well, all these big players are just going to come in and squash all the small companies. And I don't believe that. I'm like, look at beer or wine. It went the opposite direction. You know, in my days in the 70s, there was Coors and Budweiser and Miller. Yeah. And now there's like 1,000 beers or wine. So there's always going to be room for people to build their brand. And like you say, I love the health and wellness, because I mean, there's all these other chemicals in the plant, CBN and CBG, and then you get into things like psilocybin, and that's just in the plant side. So yeah, you have, by building that lifestyle brand, you can keep adding and adjusting. And so it's not just like, oh, I'm selling CBD or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, right now we have, I think, 27, 28 products currently in our portfolio, and I'm working on another 30 right now. So it'll just keep building. You know, it'll be one of those things. I'm really huge on not thinking that I like the god of the brand, and I know exactly what product is going to sell and what people need in every single color they want. I really like testing, and I like trying to find out what the community wants. So as I build, as we have more products, it's really just a matter of us getting more feedback from the people and seeing what, you know, what products are we missing? Where are the gaps at? And trying to fill those gaps as much as possible. You know, I try to take some new product development myself, but those are kind of just more of tests. You know, I think the core product lineup is what the customer or the consumer really wants, and really listening and setting up those kind of feedback loops is kind of what I think my area of expertise is.
Yeah, I think that's great. And then you kind of build that audience that trusts you. They like your products. And it's like, oh, we're going to launch this one or that one or whatever it is. And I've seen a company out here in Bend, Oregon, do that with some tincture products that are CBD, THC mixes. And they keep adding new things. And it's fun to try the new thing. Where do you see where you are and just nationally cannabis and CBD industry heading next? Do you think we're gonna get to full legalization here finally?
I think if we get another term out of Biden, I think it's realistic that we can get some type of federal regulation. If we switch back to a Republican, you know, I think it'll be another 4 years, unfortunately, but. You know, I think that's just part of business. You know, I'm probably a little, just because of my competitive nature, I probably see things as more like, let's take on the challenge. But, you know, I think that's what makes business fun, is the ever-changing kind of playing field. It's not always fair. It's not always right. It's, you know, it's not always logical or rational. And trying to build a brand amongst that is a hard thing to do. So I think when you have a brand, that's what a community senses, is the effort to push forth despite those types of things. And you know, I hope the people who are watching Life Grows Green and following Life Grows Green can see that that's what we want to do. So we'll be there, whether it's 4 years from now or 8 years from now, we'll be right there on the forefront waiting to bring every legal product that we can to the customer.
Well, I really love to hear that, because I think that is the people that are trying to build something for the long haul, as opposed to people that are like, oh, I can get rich in cannabis, create a company and sell it. So is there any, we will wrap up now, but we'll put all the links in the notes, but is there any easy ways for people to find you on Instagram, or where are you most visible, and your website as well? And anything else we might have missed that you want to cover as well?
Sure. If you're looking to reach me personally, you know, I'm on all social channels, Chad Price or Real Chad Price, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, things like that. Also chadprice.com. And then if you're looking for Life Grows Green, Life Grows Green, same thing on all social channels, Life Grows Green or Life Grows Green Inc. Check out lifegrowsgreen.com, sign up for the newsletter there. And then the only other thing we didn't mention is I am publishing my first book soon. So that'll be late summer. I'll have my first book coming out, and you can find out more information there about, you know, on my social channels, on my website. It'll be a link available to order pre-sales probably in the next couple of weeks.
Well, awesome. Well, we will definitely promote all that as well. we'll let our Tyson in the background reconnect and share all that. But it's been super awesome to have you on the show. Tons of great advice. Lots of CEOs out there listening, but also people to check out your products, because it looks like you're building a really great company. I'm going to check out your products as well. But just great to have you on, and we will look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a very nice meeting.